Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Today, Wednesday, marks 100 days to the start of the Olympics in Tokyo. Host Japan has decided to stage this year's Olympics and Paralympics without overseas spectators because of public concern about the coronavirus pandemic. And while a COVID-19 cloud hangs over the games, International Olympic Committee Coordination Commission Chairperson John Coates reiterates the Olympics will go ahead as scheduled.
It certainly will happen. It'll commence the games on the 23rd of July. And I think this is a great credit to what President Bach and I and others have described as the best prepared ever games. And the work of the organising committee has just been quite outstanding in this regard, and I had no hesitation in saying the games will take place and they'll be the safest games possible. All of the countermeasures have been put in place to deal with COVID, to ensure that the public, the athletes and all of the other participants are safe. They will take place as scheduled.
The Tokyo Games already have been postponed 1 year because of the pandemic. And that has caused the official cost of the Olympics to soar. Here is VOA's Bill Gallo.
The coronavirus postponement, which organizers say will cost nearly $3 billion.
Things have really spiraled out of control, and that was before COVID.
That is Victor Matheson, a sports economist. He estimates Japan will have spent about $35 billion on the Olympics, shattering the original $7.5 billion budget.
That $35 billion budget also shatters records and makes Tokyo the most expensive Olympics in history. But IOC officials say the Games can be a beacon of hope during troubled times. Once again, here is the IOC's John Coates.
Most importantly for the athletes, they will be able to show, the Olympic movement will be able to show, the organizers, the people of Japan will be able to show that this has been a victory of humankind over the pandemic and enable us to show just what can be achieved working together.
With the Tokyo Olympics now 100 days away, excitement is building among fans, athletes, and officials. So says Olympic Games Executive Director Christoph Dubé.
There are so much expectations from the world community around these games. And we saw declarations from the United Nations, G20, G7, and all the athletes that are now sharing their excitement. They want to be there. They want to perform allow us to live what we all expect, which is in front of a TV or in a stadium to have those goosebumps running down the spine. So I would expect the athletes to be absolutely at their peak despite the conditions. They are incredibly resilient and they are preparing for this very moment where they will shine for us to live unprecedented emotions.
That's Christoph Dubé, the Olympic Games Executive Director at the International Olympic Committee. And he spoke from Lausanne, Switzerland.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
A new survey indicates Tokyo Olympic organizers are struggling to win public support, with more than 70% of Japanese citizens wanting the Olympic Games to be either canceled or postponed because of the coronavirus pandemic. The poll was conducted by the Japanese news agency Kyodo News, and it reveals 39.2% of respondents want the Games to be canceled, and 32.8% are in favor of another delay. Only 24.5% of Japanese citizens want the Olympic Games to go ahead as planned, according to the Kyoto poll. Now, the results of the poll came a day after tougher COVID-19 measures were imposed in Tokyo, Kyoto, and Okinawa to halt a potential rise in cases. In European club football, Chelsea and Paris Saint-Germain advanced to the UEFA Champions League semifinals on Tuesday. PSG moved on despite a 1-0 home loss to defending champion Bayern Munich. The French club progressed on away goals after a 3-3 aggregate result. Cameroonian striker Eric Choupo-Moting scored the only goal just before halftime, but it was not enough to overturn Bayern's 3-2 loss in last week's first leg. Speaking after Tuesday's match, PSG's Brazilian star Neymar said, and I quote, "We fought like a great team. We beat the European champions." Our VOA football fans will remember PSG lost to Bayern 1-0 in last year's UEFA Champions League final. Meanwhile, in Seville, Spain, Chelsea also advanced despite a 1-0 loss to Porto. The Blues of Chelsea won the series on aggregate 2-1. Iranian striker Mehdi Taremi scored on a spectacular overhead bicycle kick in extra time on Tuesday. His acrobatic volley lit up a lackluster game in Seville, Spain, which hosted both legs of the quarterfinal because of coronavirus restrictions. Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel admits it wasn't the prettiest football played in Seville.
I can imagine that both games were not the nicest game to watch on the television for spectators who look for entertainment. I can totally accept, but it's very hard to play your best game against Porto, and it is a performance also a part of performance to not let your opponent perform. So this is what they do, and this is what we do also. And today it was the day to hang in, to show all the effort, all the intensity, all the team spirit that is needed. If you don't have the experience, if you have a young team, if you arrive the first time with a lot of players in this moment, then it's the momentum together, to be together and to fight hard and to hang in there. And I think we deserved a clean sheet.
Chelsea will play either Liverpool or Real Madrid in the semifinals, with Real holding a 3-1 lead ahead of Wednesday evening's second leg. Once again, here's Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel.
Yeah, it's anybody's competition in semifinal latest. It's anybody's competition. You need momentum. You need players fit. You need luck in the games. You know, when you just look at our score sheet last week, we have two guys who score their first goal, I think, in Champions League ever, the first goal in the competition, and then you watch the others and you see Kylian Mbappe score or Neymar score or Benzema score or Salah score. That's like their 100th goal or the 50th goal in the competition. And you see that we arrive with a very young team. And we want to turn it around. And what a young team can always do is fight, run, hang in there, and take it like an adventure for them. It's a big step to be in semi-final. This is it's a very, very big achievement. And you see when Chelsea has been last time in semi-final. So we are not used to be there. And once you are there, you play for the final. This is clear.
That's Thomas Tuchel, the manager of Chelsea Football Club. And he was speaking in Seville, Spain.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Tuchel, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Asafa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African football, teams from East Africa performed poorly in the recent 2022 Africa Cup of Nations qualifying competition. Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda all failed to qualify for the African football showpiece. Magume Davis Rakawinj filed this report from Kampala, Uganda.
It is not good news here in East Africa after most countries have failed to qualify for the Cameroon 2022 Africa Cup of Nations. Favorites Uganda Cranes managed only 8 points in Group B, just 2 points off Malawi and 4 off group winners Burkina Faso, while South Sudan finished bottom of the group with a paltry 3 points. Leon Senyange, a sports analyst, says complacency played a big role in Cranes' failures.
We saw ourselves already qualified than before even kicking the ball in some matches. There was anticipation that probably would have a 6-pointer off South Sudan. Sadly, we only managed 3 points. We couldn't even get 4 off Malawi and Burkina Faso. So therein, we didn't really take this kind of qualifier seriously. But that aside, I still insist that there's a player transition and mentality transition within the Uganda Cranes side, in the sense that over the last 2 years, you've seen a new generation of players being fitted into the national team setup.
Senyange also says Uganda Cranes' momentum, just like any other countries, was interrupted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Another interruption was also a change of the coaching staff after the national team coach, Jonathan McKinstry, was suspended ahead of Burkina Faso and Malawi games. Engineer Moses Magogo, the head of Federation of Football Associations in Uganda, FUFA, congratulated Malawi after the Cranes' final match of the qualifiers, where the Uganda Cranes lost by 1-0. The better team on the pitch won. Congratulations, Malawi. We shift our focus to FIFA 2022 World Cup qualifiers in June, he posted on his social media account. Tanzania also finished third in Group J with 7 points, just 2 short of Equatorial Guinea on the second spot and group leaders Tunisia. Team captain Mbwana Samata, who currently plays for Fenerbahce in Turkey, apologized on behalf of his teammates and promised to do better. Daniel Mulimuka, a Tanzanian sports analyst, says Samata's quote alone wasn't enough to help the Taifa Stars to qualify consecutively to Africa's biggest showpiece.
So if a nation like Comoros have managed to qualify, I think Taifa Stars had all the rights to do so. But two things that have been hindering football, not only in Tanzania, but I would say Eastern Central African football, is that we don't have quality players to give us results in the most crucial moments. I think Kenya is another nation from this zone that had struggled to or failed to qualify for this tournament. And one of the reasons is that they had missed their crucial players like Victor Wanyama. And there are no many Victor Wanyamas in Kenya, just as there are not many Mbwana Samatas in Tanzania.
Rwandan journalist James Munyaneza says East Africans must up their preparations to turn things around.
You have to invest in football structures, football pitches. You have to invest in equipment. You have to invest in young lads, in young school kids. So that's for the long term. That has to be catered for going forward, obviously. Now, in the short term, when national teams are being prepared, there is, again, something you can learn from West Africa, from North Africa. You know, at what point are teams summoned? At what point are teams convened and they enter, you know, residential camp and they start to be prepared? You get to assess their fitness levels. You get to grow a certain ideology, you know, in terms of the team. You have a set of values and principles that you instill through the team. You have to sharpen individual commitment, and the philosophy has to trickle down through the team, basically.
Leon Senyange agrees.
Thankfully that later in November, we have the World Cup qualifiers starting then. So 6 matches should be good enough to provide some of these players playing time for the next qualifiers, which is the Africa Cup of Nations. The work they have to do is ensure that you have a steady coaching staff and a steady player pattern than has been over the past qualifier.
In Group C, Sudan beat South Africa's Bafana Bafana by 2-0 to secure their first qualification since 2012, and joined by Ethiopia, the only 2 teams from the Council for East and Central Africa Football Association's OSECAFA region at next year's AFCON finals. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Ruakarinji in Kampala.
Hello, listeners. My name is Yoko Asomole, former KCCA Villa and Uganda Cranes midfielder and coach of Uganda under-20 national side, which finished as first runners-up in Mauritania. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me with a panel of VOA journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including as the trial of former police officer Derek Chauvin continues. Hundreds of people gathered outside a police station in the U.S. state of Minnesota to protest the deadly shooting of a man by an officer. Don't miss Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Sporting greetings. This is William Chosekong from Watford Football Club and Nigeria Super Eagles. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, William. In women's football, the world champion USA team will be bidding for a 5th Olympic gold medal in Japan. In the words of longtime Washington Post newspaper soccer writer Stephen Goff, the American women looked every bit like the Olympic favorite on Tuesday evening in France. The top-ranked USA beat host France 2-0 in a friendly international match. Megan Rapinoe and Alex Morgan scored in the first 20 minutes of the game as the American women stretched their unbeaten streak to 39 matches. Now, Alex Morgan continued her steady return to the pitch for the USA after giving birth last year to a girl, Charlie Elena, and contracting the coronavirus.
After coming back from pregnancy, feeling really good, getting games in with Tottenham, and then looking forward to January camp, but having to withdraw because of COVID, I felt like it was a little bit of an uphill battle, but I was willing to take that on. And so I got back on the field as soon as I could. I haven't had any lingering effects, thankfully. So I've just been, you know, with Orlando day in and day out trying to gain 90-minute fitness. And I've been fortunate enough for us to have games week in and week out where we've gotten 90 minutes consistently. So coming into this camp, I felt really sharp and fit, and felt like if 90 minutes was asked upon me, that I could take that on. With 2 games and a quick turnaround, I was eager for us to have a good response from Sweden's game. And I think that we did that tonight. And I'm really happy with, you know, with our team performance, because I think the two things right before the game that we talked about was, one, have fun, and two, score early and kind of like just crush their momentum early. And we were able to do both of those.
That's U.S. women's soccer star Alex Morgan speaking in France, where the top-ranked USA beat host France Tuesday evening 2-0 in a friendly international match.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ike. In National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, the league-leading Utah Jazz won their 41st game of the season, beating the visiting Oklahoma City Thunder 106-96. French center Rudy Gobert had 13 points, 14 rebounds, and 7 blocked shots for Utah.
We started to get more physical, to play defense, to communicate. You know, we got back in this game, and you know, when we defend like that, it fuels our offense.
Helping fuel Utah's offense were Bojan Bogdanović and Donovan Mitchell, who scored 23 points and 22 points, respectively. The Oklahoma City Thunder, meanwhile, have hit a stormy stretch of their season. The Thunder has lost 7 games in a row and 10 of their past 11. Meanwhile, the Phoenix Suns have won 10 of their past 11 games after Tuesday night's victory over the Miami Heat. The AP's George Tanner reports from Phoenix, Arizona.
DeAndre Ayton led the way with 19 points and 13 rebounds as the Suns overcame a 13-point first quarter deficit to defeat the Heat 106-86. Despite off nights by Devin Booker and Chris Paul, 4 reserves scored in double figures as the bench combined for a season-high 65 points. Phoenix has now won 10 of their last 11 games, including 3 straight. Jimmy Butler led the Heat with 18 points and 8 assists. George Tanner, Phoenix.
Sporty greetings. I'm Ogo Odaudu, head coach of Rivers Hoopers Basketball Club of Port Harcourt. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. Coming up, a conversation with His Excellency Philippe Etienne, the ambassador of France to the United States. We will talk with the ambassador about the state of transatlantic relations, French politics, France's efforts to expand ties with Anglophone Africa, and much more. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. As I mentioned earlier in the show, Chelsea will play either Liverpool or Real Madrid in the semifinals of the UEFA Champions League football tournament. The Reds of Liverpool will host Real later Wednesday evening, and they'll need to rally after losing the first leg of the quarterfinal series 3-1. VOA's Gwen Uten has a preview for us and comments from the coaches on both teams. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Last week, Real Madrid walked away with a 3-1 victory over Liverpool in the first leg quarterfinal Champions League match. But the bigger story could be the fact that Real Madrid have suffered more injuries than any other team in the La Liga this season. And among those on the injured list include key starters Toni Kroos, Federico Valverde, and Lucas Vazquez. Those sideline players could open up a chance for Liverpool to make a comeback in the second leg. But ahead of the match, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp told reporters that in order to win, his side cannot afford to make any errors on defense.
the quality Madrid has. You have to defend on your absolute highest level, what we didn't do the other night. And that's why this is as important as the other things. It's about winning football games always. And that's a target for tomorrow night.
Liverpool will arrive at Anfield Stadium without the home crowd to cheer them on. And Klopp says his side will have to create their own atmosphere if they hope to overturn the deficit.
When you're 3-1 down, it looks like you're already out. That means you have not a lot to lose, let me say it like this. And, so we will give it a try. I think that's the job we have to do, and that's exactly how we will go for it, if you want. It's a result which showed we were not as good as we should have been or could have been. But it's the first half of the leg, and so, yeah. That's it.
Liverpool are hoping Wednesday's second leg match will make up for what has largely been an underwhelming season. The reigning European champions have struggled to find their form in the Premier League and have fallen too far from the top to defend their title. But Klopp has not ruled out the possibility of a comeback and a chance to advance in the Champions League.
Football is football, we all know that, and there are a lot of things possible. But first and foremost, I mean, I understand that we speak now about results, obviously, but for me it's only much more important is the performance. We have to play like ourselves. We have to play as good as we can. We have to try to win that game, and just that.
It won't be the first time Klopp's side had their backs against the wall entering a Champions League match. In 2019, Liverpool managed to overturn a 3-0 deficit against Barcelona in the semifinals. The Reds went on to win their final match and claim the Champions League title. Lightning could strike twice for Liverpool, but they must first get past Real Madrid. And Klopp admits they'll be a tough team to beat.
Real Madrid didn't win the competition that often with Zinedine Zidane because they are not experienced. They are pretty experienced, and these are all things they're already part of the game. So that they have intense season and they have injuries, that's clear. Everybody can see that. We have the same. So we're on the same level. Nobody has to use that for any kind of explanations. So it's just late in the season, crazy year with a lot of games and all these kinds of things, but the decisive part of the season is now, and I'm 100% sure Real Madrid will be 100% ready for this game, and that's what we prepare for.
Meanwhile, following their first leg win, Real Madrid coach Zinedine Zidane warned his side against complacency and said he would approach their second leg as if the result were 0-0. And ahead of Wednesday's match, Zidane said his team is exhausted, but insists his players will not reserve any energy in their match against Liverpool.
Pero nosotros no vamos a...
Zidane said, we're not going to try and manage our effort levels. We've come here to win. When Real Madrid is on the pitch, it is to try to win the match, and that's what we'll try to do. And concerning being at our limit, we've made a huge effort in the first leg, and we will prepare for another demanding match, and we are ready for that. Well, that demanding second leg quarterfinal match will take place on Wednesday on Liverpool's home turf at Anfield. And that is all from me, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. As Gwen mentioned, the Reds of Liverpool have fallen too far from the top to defend their title in the English Premier League. However, the Reds are still battling for a top four finish in the EPL. Right now, Liverpool is in sixth place with 52 points. Chelsea is right above them with 54 points. And West Ham United is in fourth place with 55 points. Taking a quick look at the top of the Premier League table, Manchester City is the runaway leader with 74 points. Manchester United is in second place with 63 points. And Leicester City is in third place with 56 points. After Wednesday evening's Champions League match against Real Madrid, Liverpool will be back in Premier League action on Monday, April 19th, when it plays a road game against Leeds United. And that wraps up the April 14th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.